Joining you in the studio now, Dave Elliott Jones, producer, director, all that stuff, the guy himself that tried to become famous. Welcome, man.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, dude, obviously, you've gone over to try and become a celebrity. And I guess to paint the picture, how normal of a guy would you say you are? Like, because I guess people might be thinking that you already had some connections or something. But, I mean, paint the picture for us.
I'm extremely ordinary. I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't act to save my life. Before I moved to Japan, my part-time job was flipping hamburgers.
Right.
So that's about it, how ordinary I get.
Yeah. And why Japan?
Japan for a lot of reasons, is a fascinating place to do a fame documentary.
Mm-hmm.
For one, this whole idea of big in Japan has existed for years. And for us, that's like a parallel to this situation we find ourselves in modern culture now, in which it seems like any ordinary person can achieve fame. At least that's what culture tells us.
Yeah.
In Japan, in a similar way, there is that perception that an ordinary person, an ordinary foreigner, I should say, can get famous. So
right.
We thought it would just make for a really interesting case study.
Yeah, and because I guess there's this thing, I know I've lived with people who come from overseas and they've said there's this very, like, I guess a normal white guy in Australia is like this big, elusive, wow, like it's just almost a very cool, attainable one. They really admire, I don't know, like just normal, I guess, white people. I don't know. Like, and it's similar maybe over here. We think that people that have come from other countries, I don't know, like America or whatever, are just like cool just because they're from overseas. I don't know. It's like, so I guess that makes sense. And there's a couple of other people that you followed on the journey. Tell us a little bit about your friends that join you along the way.
Okay, so we meet this guy. A lot of listeners might know him, actually, because he's pretty big in the wrestling world. Bob the Beast Sapp. He's 156 kilograms, 6 foot five. He lives up to his name, the Beast. He's huge.
Yeah.
So he, in the US for a while, he kind of worked on the fringes of Hollywood, but he was pretty much unknown apart from that. In the wrestling world, he's got a bit more of a following, but when it comes to Japan, he's absolutely a household name.
Really?
He can't walk the streets. People are just nuts for him. And it's, when we first met him, he was doing a book signing, and the situation was something like out of Lost in Translation. I didn't think it was going to be that distinct.
Yeah.
But it was just absolutely nuts.
Far out. And there was also a lady beard, who we were saying before is sort of, it's like a guy dressed in, I don't, is it Japanese fashion? Is it Harajuku, the kind of like,
yeah,
very over the top, I don't know, very, yeah, cool.
Kawaii is the word, I think. Like,
right.
It's kind of like the Japanese version of cute.
Yeah.
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 So this guy is from Adelaide. He's, when we met him, he was 31 years old. And he's a cross-dressing, heavy metal singing wrestler, which is pretty unique in itself.
Yeah.
And we caught his journey as he went from just arriving in Japan to pretty much exploding over there.
And is it something to be said about, I mean, because you obviously lived over in Japan. For some reason, I can't imagine a person like Ladybeard being a household name. Like, you don't think you'd see them on, I don't know, your mainstream media outlets on, like, Channel 9, Channel 7, hosting the Today Show or something. But over there, these guys are household names. Is it just they've got a desire over there for just extreme? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's pretty wacky over there in Japan.
Yeah.
Very quirky. They have a lot of interesting characters appearing on TV pretty regularly. There's a really huge cross-dressing personality who is on pretty much every talk show in Japan.
Mm.
And there's a few other examples like that. But yeah, it's something, I don't know what it is exactly, but I guess it's a sort of a very visual and fast sense of humor. Some might call it a bit slapstick.
Mm-hmm.
That in Japan, there is this appetite for pretty wacky celebrities.
Dave, with that in mind, what was, because I feel like you really were starting from just absolute scratch. Like you said, you used to flip burgers. You're not someone that's been in the entertainment industry, sort of singing or acting or anything like that. So, I mean, who do you turn to when you want to become big in Japan?
Well, in Tokyo alone, there were something like 12 foreign talent agencies. So that was pretty much our first port of call.
So what would you say, for people that don't know, what would you call a foreign trade agency, whatever, kind of thing?
Yeah, a foreign talent agency is, it's basically like, so in the Western sort of showbiz system, I guess people have agents that represent them. In Japan, it's like an agency, like a company that represents a whole bunch of people.
Right.
And in Japan, they basically have these foreign talent agencies that have hundreds of foreigners all listed up on their website.
Right.
Yeah, and they're sort of like categorized into different appearance types.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
For instance, I probably got put in the glasses section. I was in the glasses section for pretty much all those foreign talent agencies.
Yeah.
So that's where we started. And then we started to meet people like Bob Sapp and Lady Beard. And our third character, who I didn't mention before, Kelsey Pinagoni, who's an aspiring J-pop idol.
Yeah, okay. And so you've almost like, because I feel like maybe the Western blueprint is maybe either use your talent to go viral, or maybe, you know, the music route, you sort of get picked up by a label, or I guess that's the way, or grind your way through your specific industry. Did you have an industry that, or specific talent that you were going for when you were over there? I mean, glasses, is that a talent? I don't know.
Pretty much it became my talent. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, my first gig was like an American designer in a show about the Olympics. And the character was a bit nerdy.
Yeah.
And another show saw that and then decided to give me the nerd role. And you keep getting pictures every time you get cast in a particular role.
Yeah.
And then since I had this picture of, I think it was the scientist picture that really sort of like typecast me completely. Once I had that picture,
yeah,
I couldn't get any other role. I was pretty much the geek foreigner.
And so I guess that must be almost, it's like best case scenario for someone that hasn't done acting training. You almost, you're having the perfect look, I guess, allowed you then to, because like you said, you haven't done it before, so you could just sort of almost be yourself on set. Was that the plan?
That was the plan and the accident.
Oh,
so it worked out well for us, but we definitely didn't have a plan B for if I couldn't succeed being myself and maybe exaggerating certain traits that I have,
yeah,
then I don't know what we would have done in the traditional fame sense, because the attempt had sort of two spheres. So we had like traditional fame or TV and showbiz,
yeah,
and then also online. Mm-hmm. So online, the ball was more in our court and we could do whatever we wanted.
Yeah, right. And how long was this journey taking for you? Because obviously they talk about the hard work and you're not really, when they say, look at this newcomer, they've actually been grinding for like 10 years. You weren't over there for 10 years, but how long did it take you guys to hit that peak that you ended up getting to?
Yeah, it took a couple of years. Yeah, so we were over there for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, we basically jumped ship and became English teachers to support ourselves.
Right.
And filmed the doco while we were doing that.
Damn. Oh, my God. I mean, did you get any sort of sense of maybe, like we were saying before, at the very start, you know, people say celebrities got such an easy life, and I wonder if that's actually true. Did you get a sense for maybe what it actually must be like to be living day to day as someone that is a celebrity? Was it hard? Was it easy? Did you have a better life because of it?
I think that's a complete myth. I think being a celebrity is a lot of work, and that was reflected as spending 2 years, you know, chasing fame. I'm only getting really just a taste of it compared to people who have become famous and known fame for years. But I could see that at any point of the fame journey, whether you're just starting out or whether you've known it for a long time, there are difficulties. So for Ladybeard, that was lots and lots of hard work. They had quite a grassroots approach, taking photos, public appearances. And with Kelsey, there were sacrifices. For instance, she couldn't have a boyfriend because she was an idol and she had to be seen as being single.
Right.
With Bob Sapp, he was incredibly lonely in a way because becoming so famous, he couldn't trust anyone anymore. So without giving too much away in the documentary, I've realized that there's actually quite a lot, quite a huge price to pay for fame. But having said that, we also see all of the perks of fame as well in the documentary, and there are plenty of those.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, it definitely seems like there's big highs, big lows kind of thing, and I'm really excited to see how it all turns out. It's called Big in Japan. There will be some events in Sydney
for
the doco, so keep an eye out for early next year.
Yes, so we've got January the 6th. Big in Japan will be playing at Event Cinemas George Street. Tickets via FanForce, so that's fan-force.com.
Awesome.
And we've also got a Ladybeard live event at Factory Theatre the following night, January the 7th.
Cool. So you might be able to get a sense of what's hot in Japan. You'll actually get to see it all live in person. It's all happening. Dave Elliott-Jones, hey, thank you so much for coming in. It's been very insightful. I'm curious. I mean, man, I can't believe I'm in the presence of a Japanese celebrity.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.